It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're studying the book of Matthew, new study. We're just going to enjoy that. In the past, we've done the Gospel of John. We're going to do the Gospel of Matthew, and so I hope that you enjoy it. We'll begin it today. And so as you're looking up the book, the first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, why, please open your Bibles to that location. We'll start with the first verse. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope now that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And we're just going to read the first two verses this morning, and then we're going to get started with the study. And so we're going to begin now. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brethren. We're going to stop with the reading there. We've got some introduction to do here today. And so let's begin with prayer. Father, we just thank and praise you that we can come and meet and just have a wonderful time over your precious word. Just guide and lead us. It's such a joyful day. Every day is a beautiful day, whether the sun is shining or not, because we know that the sun is shining in our hearts, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. If, Father, we have forgotten the joy of our first love, please restore it today. If we've gotten busy with the world and things like that, and we just have not taken time to study your word, we've not taken time to enjoy the precious prayer time and quiet time with you, Father, just help us to find that time and to do that today. And Father, if we have folks out there, and I'm sure we do, that have never come to know you as their personal Savior, maybe they've been very religious all their life, been in church as I was for many, many years before I come by faith to you. And Father, you introduced me with the Holy Spirit, guided me down and shown me the way of salvation. I ask today that as we begin the study of this precious, precious book, that you will show us your way and your will for salvation for all the world, and that they would come and realize that you died on the cross to save them. But we need to make that commitment, that call for you. We need to ask you to come into our hearts and save us. You've paid the price. It's all done. But we need, Father, for you to come and save us. We need to ask you to come into our heart. Not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. So please, guide and lead us now as we study this precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this study, there are many things concerning the Gospels. Some you may have heard and would know, and others may be something kind of new for you. We know that there was a period of time of 400 years from the time of Malachi, the days back makes mention of Nehemiah and Malachi's day, to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. During that time, there was a period of 400 years, approximately 400 years, of silence. The last report, and we have finished a study in Malachi, and we find that the call was to go back to Moses and the commandments that Moses had given you. And in doing that, you would come and reestablish yourself with realizing that all of these offerings, sacrifices, the things that you were doing was not to be done because it was a rule or a law. It was to be done because you knew it had such a beautiful picture of the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And so Malachi called the nation of Israel to come back to that time, go back into the books of Moses, and we know that that be the first five books of our precious Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And you look at the commandments that I have given you, and that's not just the 12 commandments, but that's also all the sacrificial rules and things that were given, all to be a picture of the Lord Jesus. And upon that time, after Malachi had given that outline and those directions, went silent. And it was silent for 400 years. A lot of things took place in the world during that time. We have the Persians, and we have Alexander the Great. We come down and realize that there was a great empire that was raised up under his rule about the year of 320 B.C., Judah became part or was annexed into Egypt. We have so many transitions and so many things. We come all the way down to the year 166 B.C. We have the Maccabees and that period that they listen to. And it's part of the talk or the statements there is his name, the name that came from, means the hammer, was the leader who organized the revolts. Rome came into the picture about 63 B.C., took Jerusalem, and the people of Israel, you know, passed and went under the rulership of that new power and under the Roman government, and that's where we were at the time when the Lord Jesus was born. And so there was appointments made, and then we have Herod coming into the picture. Herod took Jerusalem, and much of the destruction and death that took place. Caesar became emperor over Rome in 31 B.C., they started the construction of Herod's temple, rebuild the temple there, and it was still under construction. It started about 20 B.C. or 19 B.C., and it was still under construction when the Lord Jesus was born. This period of time under the Maccabean period is probably one of the worst times concerning the nation of Israel. This was taken care of or happened under the this revolt that we talked about concerning the Syria. And so as this took place, it was a revolt that was raised up against them, against Syria, and it was a very horrible time for the nation of Israel at that time. And so as we realize all these things that have taken place through the world between the Medes and the Persians, and all the way through the rule of each, all the way coming to the point now of the rule of Rome, and that's where we find ourselves today. Now, a couple of things took place during this 400 years of silence. That was not good. Instead of learning and listening to the Malachi and the prophecy that he gave, and went back unto Moses and his commandments and his direction, instead of that, we find that there was some groups that had kind of developed themselves into a position. position of power. One was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and then Herodians, H-E-R-O-D-I-A-N-S. It was a group that was a party, and it was a political party during the time of the Lord Jesus, during the time of Matthew. And so as we look at this, we find that the Pharisees, they were one of the strongest of these groups, and they rose up to defend the ways of the Jewish life against any other kind of influence from any foreign country or anything like that. Very legalistic. And they believed in the Old Testament, and so we find that is the fundamental side of that today. And so the Sadducees now, they were made up of more of the wealthy, and they were social-minded. They wanted to do the opposite. They wanted to get rid of tradition, and so we find that taking place. And doesn't that sound like a group today that we have left so many of the good traditions in the singing of the hymns and the service and letting the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts? That seems to be been put aside here. And so just quickly, just a very small part of these religious groups that we have. And then we have the scribes. And we find them back in the days of Ezra, and they become a term is used as the hair splitters. They were concerned with the letter of the law more than the spirit of the law. And you know, the Lord Jesus, when he would step into the field and pull an ear off, why, on the Sabbath, boy, he was condemned for that. And so that came through that group. And so as we look at these folks and you see these things came into place during that 400-year period and really took over the Jews, took over what we would call today the church. So it wasn't the church, it was the Jewish nation and the connection that they had with our God and his power and his strength. Instead of following back as Malachi commanded them to do by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, they started all these groups, these sects, these different areas, and none were good. None of these led anyone to the Lord Jesus for salvation. They all missed the Lord Jesus as Jesus was coming on the scene, as so many points was made pointing to the birth of the Lord Jesus. One more thing before we get on into the study of the book of Matthew. So we've got a little bit of history of what has taken place during that 400 years. We find these groups have established themselves. You're going to hear these names and words as we study through the Word. But also the book of Matthew, it is directed and it gives us a look, a portrait of Christ. And in Matthew, he's portrayed as the king. In Mark, he's portrayed as a servant. In Luke, the Son of Man. And in John, Almighty God. Now, as our Lord never does anything wasteful, there's always a purpose and a direction. Matthew was to the Jews. Mark was to Rome. Luke was to the Greeks. And then John was to all the world. And so each one of those is in that direction. Now, we find in Revelation 4 and Ezekiel 1 a kind of an angelic reminder or look. And Matthew would be as the lion, Mark as the ox, Luke as man, and John as the eagle. And as we have those listed, you'll kind of be reminded of the banners that they stood under when we had the 12 tribes listed. And so each tribe stood under a certain banner. Also, the style of teaching. Matthew is as a teacher. Mark more as a preacher. Luke is the great historian. And John is the great theologian. Their means of delivering their message. Matthew is more in the line of sermons. And we find that the book of Mark is in miracles. Luke is in parables. And John as in doctrine. So that gives you just a little bit of a start as we look through these precious Gospels and begin with the study. Again, we have done the Gospel of John in the past, but now we're going to enjoy the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Every precious book of our Bible has a key. And when you understand and have that key, it unlocks the book for you to understand. Sometimes it's at the beginning, sometimes it's almost at the end, sometimes it's midway through. But in this case, the key is the first verse. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David. This is something that opens the book. The book of the generations of Jesus, the generation of Jesus Christ. We look back to Genesis 5:1, where we read, this is the book of the generations of Adam. So we come from the first book of the Old Testament to the glorious first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, from one to the other. And we know that as the Lord Jesus come, we have the first Adam threw us into sin and lost and condemned to hell forever. And then the second Adam, the Lord Jesus, come to seek and to save us. The record that we have of these folks, the genealogy, is carefully preserved at that time in a government house. It was placed under special care of the Sanhedrin. Now, we talked about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Now, there's another group that gathered together, or this same group gathers together under the rule of the Sanhedrin. There are very special reasons for keeping the genealogy of the Lord Jesus because the Jews were looking for their Messiah. They were looking for their Messiah. Why and how they missed him, no one knows, because they had everything telling them when, how, where, everything. But the one key, one that they were looking for always, and that is the Messiah would always, they always knew it would be the son of David. The son of David. So anyone that claimed to be the Messiah must be of the house and the lineage of David, of which our Lord Jesus is clearly stated of the house and lineage of David. They must all be of the house of David. If not, they were an illegitimate person that was claiming something that they could not establish, because it had to be of the son of David, the lineage of David. We find here in Matthew, as we look through these names, that it traces the royal or kingly line of succession. It must be proved. Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Here the Holy Spirit uses the full name, Jesus Christ. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the name given and used here on earth. That name was given unto Mary. Christ was used when the angel announced his birth to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Christ was only used by those that were close to him. Jesus Christ here is the opening of this chapter of Matthew, and it speaks clearly of Jesus the Savior. Yes, it portrays him as king, but he comes first as our Savior. Jesus is his earthly name, and Christ is the name concerning his deity. If you'll notice here, Abraham also is listed. We have the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the first family that prophesied the Messiah, that the Messiah would come. And we find that back, and we're going to go back there because of this being the first book of the New Testament. We'll go back to the first book of the Old Testament in Genesis 12. And we have three verses here. Genesis chapter 12, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." What a promise that is given to Abraham back about over 4,000 years ago, over 2,000 years before the Lord Jesus would be born. And we know, of course, that the picture and the promise was given to Adam and Eve when God killed the lamb and put the skins of that lamb up on Adam and Eve. That was the picture of what was to come. The sacrifice would be innocent. The sacrifice would be perfect. The sacrifice would, by requirement, have the shedding of blood. And the sacrifice must die. That was God's plan put into place back with Adam and Eve. And that promise never changed and was completed with the birth, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Here in Genesis, that promise was given to a family that would come through the seed of Abraham. And this is the first time that that is mentioned. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. And once again, chapter 22, verse 18, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." All will be blessed. That a blessing I bless thee, and in multiplying I multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful promise. Abraham was the first. And then we have the son of David, the son of Abraham. David was listed here last. Listed first in the scripture, but Abraham was the first time it was given to a family, and then it always stayed with David. So the connection between Abraham and David and the Lord Jesus was a direct tie. They knew that they had to stay in that direction. Of course, we know that it came through Judah, and that second verse tells us that Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judah. And then it continues from there. This was everything to the Jews. So the first verse of Matthew identifies so clearly that this book is to the Jews. Made that connection. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah, his brethren. And then it continues in verse 3 with Judah. And we come down to some very familiar names if you've enjoyed the study in verse 5. Boaz. And we come to Boaz begat Obed and Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David the king. We're down to verse 6. And David the king begat Solomon. Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abba. And it continues down through the joy of this genealogy, of this kingly line of our Lord and Savior. Without question, that was kept. They knew, these Pharisees and Sadducees, the scribes, they were so busy with their political life. They were so busy with one staying so close to the letter of the law, the other trying to change tradition and the letter of the law. Each had their own desires, of which none was to seek the Lord Jesus. The very purpose of all the words and all the studies and everything that they did, the very purpose of all that was to show them when the Messiah was coming and who he was and his purpose. But they got so tied up in their own little things that they missed him, and they still do. And we think, how could that happen? Well, it happens every day today. We get our religions, and you get a certain denomination, and they get their little rules and their little ways and the way they do things. They baptize in this way, and they confirm in this way, and they teach these words this way, and they teach these words that way. I had a book from a denomination, a very well-known denomination, that stated very clearly, if you are not very educated, do not read the Word of God. Now, where did that come from? God's Word is so simple, and God's Word is so clear in bringing us step by step from the book of Genesis, from the time of Adam and Eve, all the way up through to the birth, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And yet today, most denominations miss it. They do not preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?